We have been in the process of answering a question. Who do you say that I am? This particular question comes out of the scriptures, out of the Bible. And Jesus, in his about his second year of ministry on this earth, was taking his disciples, and they were walking toward a rather high mountain in Israel called up in the northern part. And they go by a place that is pagan worship, and they're walking through a city that is truly all Roman, with Roman legions, and just a very Roman area. And these men feel really, really out of place. They just don't feel comfortable there. And as they're walking by some place called the Gates of Hell, which is a place where Pan was worshipped, and Zeus was worshipped, and it was actually the place where they believed that the underworld came out of a cave, and that was the birthplace of Pan, but it was also where Satan was and where all the gods resided in this underworld. And so as they're walking by this place, Jesus stops and he asks them a question. And a question intended to engage them in this question right here. But his question to them first was, who do people say that I am? Who do people say that I am? Now, Jesus knew what people said about him. But he was engaging these men, these women who were with him, following him, and he was teaching them. He's engaging them and asking them that question, and they answer the question to him. And then he poses a second question to them to clarify it in a very personal way. And he says this question, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? When you think about that question, and it is a question that we are going to raise today, we're going to answer the question, but it's not a question that I can answer for you or you can answer for anybody else. Even parents can't answer it for their kids. It's a question that every person has to answer for themselves. Who is Jesus the Christ? And so this morning we're going to take a look in a dramatic fashion between two women. Two women who are really lesser characters in the story, so to speak. In fact, one of them you probably don't even know exists, but is in the scriptures. We're going to take a look at two women who have opposite views of who Jesus is. So the first woman we're going to talk about is a woman whose name was Claudia. Claudia was is in the scriptures, but she's in the scripture without a name. And we find her name in literature outside of the scriptures because she was Pilate's wife. And so the scriptures doesn't name her, but people outside of the scriptures named her as Pilate's wife as Claudia. And so as we come to this particular scripture, we see that this is what Claudia is saying. Just then, as Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message. So Pilate is the Roman governor, and he is sitting on a judgment seat, which is kind of like behind the bench of a courtroom, and he's pronouncing judgment on Jesus, who has already been beaten, who's already been beaten by the Romans, and he's pronouncing his judgment on him, and this woman, his wife, sends him a note, and the note says, "Leave that innocent man alone. I have suffered through a terrible nightmare about him last night." So before we go any further with that, let me talk to you about what Romans believed. So a Roman was not a Jew. They didn't hold to one god. They hold to many gods. And they would put gods as a small g rather than a big g. We would write big G, and they would write little g, and then they put an S afterwards because they had many gods. Many gods that they worshipped. And they believed that the gods spoke to them through dreams. Now, it could be a good God, and it can be a bad God. But either way, they spoke through dreams. And so the night that Claudia is having this nightmare, she is a pagan, meaning she does not believe in God Almighty. So she believes in many gods, and she's a Roman, and they're powerful. But she makes a statement. So watch this video of Claudia.
Thank you. It was just a nightmare. Or was it? These dreams, they won't leave me. All the people to have dreamed about him, why me? Call him what you want, a criminal, a lunatic. All I know is this. Jesus claimed to have a direct connection to God. Nightmares. They came with a message. What do I do with this message? What if the nightmares came from the devil himself to thwart the plans of the man they say saves souls? What if it came from an angel? Saying his time had come to rule the world? I did the only thing I could do, even though I knew it could cost my husband and I our privileged positions. My husband, have nothing to do with that man, Jesus. The city was already heaving with people from the Passover. The Jews surely would have rioted. I can only pretend to know what real power feels like, for I'm only married to it. Does innocent blood run warmer on his hands? Does regret steal his sleep? Whatever the case, he did not listen to me. His followers say that he will come back to life. Let me assure you, there is no coming back from what he succumbed to. Who do I say that he is? This man who stood stoically as he was beaten, ridiculed, and tortured. Who claimed things I'd never seen another human being claim. Who taught peacefully as far as I could ever tell. I have no idea who he was. But it doesn't matter. He's dead.
Profound. That's one view. Jesus was a good man. He was unjustly killed. That is a view. That is an opinion that you can hold. Leave this innocent man alone. Claudia held this view, at least at this point. And she believed that when that day was over, this would be done. And there would be no more having to deal with this man by the name of Jesus, the Nazarene, who some said was the Christ, the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, who would overthrow the Roman Empire. See, Rome was thinking about him, and they were wondering. And here's the question that we need to answer, which is, so even in our world, we have times when we have people that rise to power, and then we wonder, who are they going to be? What are they going to be like? That's the answer, the question we ask. Think about a man by the name of Donald Trump. Think about his candidacy. And how many people were wondering, who is this guy? You know, we kind of knew who he was, but did we really know who he was? We ask the same questions of people today. Who is this person? Who is this man? You see, this was going on in the Roman time too, because Jesus was making statements about being God and about what he was going to do, and the Romans were just as concerned about him as the Jews were. And the Romans' perspective was, he's just a man. He will die like any other man. And his blood, when it's gone, will end his life. So that's one perspective. And it's a perspective that's held by, I would say, many in our world today. He's just a good man. He's a good prophet. He's somebody that is going to precede other great men. But he was nothing more than that. So the second person we want to talk about, or we want to hear from, is an eyewitness of Jesus. Now, her name is, you know her by Mary Magdalene, okay? But the word Magdalene is really just Mary of Magdala. Okay, so she came from a place called Magdala. And so I figured nobody knew where that was. Okay, so I thought I would give you a little geography lesson. So this is Israel right here. The Great Sea is the Mediterranean Sea. Down at the bottom of the page, you can see Jerusalem and the Dead Sea and Jericho, and then on up the Jordan River, up toward the Sea of Galilee, and there is Magdala. Okay? And if you go a little bit to the right of that, to the east of that, you'll find that's Capernaum. Okay, it's not listed on this map, but Capernaum is right next. Little fishing village, just like Capernaum. Little fishing village. And in Capernaum was where Jesus started his ministry. This is where he called Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and all of his disciples, except one, came from this northern part of Galilee up there. And so this is where Jesus began his ministry. And this is where we find a woman by the name of Mary from Magdala in the book of Luke. It says, soon afterward, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, and he was preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took his 12 disciples with him, and along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Along with them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, and Herod's business manager, Susanna, and many others who were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. So all I want you really to see in this is that they're not just 12 disciples following behind Jesus. There are 12 disciples and some women and some other men. And it was a crowd that was around him that was following him. And Mary was following him because he had cast out of her 7 evil spirits. Now, if you had 7 evil spirits in you and somebody removed them from you, your life would be changed. Okay? Now, I'm not going to define what an evil spirit is or what it would do, but I mean, you can think with me a little bit. It could be disease, it could be sickness, it could be insanity, it could be all kinds of things that are involved with a demonic possession of an individual. Okay? And Jesus says that he removed 7 of them from her. And Mary was indeed a changed person. But she was changed until that day. You see, on the night that Claudia was having a nightmare and talked to her husband, Mary was having a bad day too, because this one who was her Savior, who was her King, who was the one who had healed her, he was been betrayed. He had been arrested. He was being beaten. He had been declared guilty. And he was on the way to the cross. Mary, along with a couple other women, were with him at the cross. They were at the base of the cross, watching Jesus die on the cross. They had watched the nails be pounded into his arms and into his feet. They had watched him as he was hung on the cross, barely visible as being a human being. Mary watched him breathe his last breath. And Mary was there the day that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea came and took his body off the cross and transported it to a tomb where they laid it. And she watched as they rolled a stone across that tomb to seal the tomb. She watched it all. She loved this man because of what he had done for her. It was not a human love, not an eros love. It was a love of, this is my God. This is the one who has saved me. This is the one who has made a difference in my life. He has transformed me. But on this night, Jesus was dead and buried. So let's hear Mary's story.
It was quiet when we approached the tomb. Days before, there was noise wherever we went. Crowds cheering, sometimes yelling. But now, in front of his tomb, I had gathered all my spices and oils, intending to anoint the body. But when I got there, he was gone. Jesus changed my life. Ever since the day that I met him in Galilee, he rescued me. And I followed him ever since, all the way to his death. But there was the tomb, and it was empty. My heart broke into 1,000 pieces. I turned and there was a gardener, and I asked him if he knew where they had taken Jesus' body. But I recognized it was Jesus. It was my Lord. He taught us that his sheep would recognize his voice, and I knew him. I knew him the minute he said my name. I dropped to my knees. What else could I do but cling to him? I never wanted to let him out of my sight. But no, he had different plans for me. He wanted me to let the others know about the good news. I ran as fast as my legs would carry me, shouting like an excited child. He did it! He did it! He really did it! Yes. To think that I had come to anoint a dead man, and I left with proof that he is the overcomer of everything. All of us, can never beat fear, sorrow, sin, definitely not death. Death. He beat death. Who do I say that he is? I know who he is. Oh, I know who he is. He said that he would rise. And he most certainly is risen. He is the Savior. He is the one true God.
Jesus beat death. He declared that he was the Son of God. Now, this is an eyewitness. This is a woman who saw Jesus before, saw him at his crucifixion, saw him die, saw him buried, and saw that the tomb was empty, and Jesus appeared to her. Now, this all comes out of the passage out of Matthew, the 28th chapter, and this is what it says. The angel spoke to the women as they were at the tomb. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." This is an angel speaking. This is not Jesus speaking. This is an angel that's speaking to these ladies as they've come into the tomb and they have seen the place that is now there. It's no body in this tomb. And he tells them this. And for them, it's a shock. I mean, do not be afraid. We would be afraid. If an angel showed up right now, we would all be terrified. But he gives her and them this story. And it says the women ran quickly from the tomb. So they exited the tomb. And they were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed out to give the disciples the angel's message. So they were going on their way. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him and grasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." Jesus himself greets Mary of Magdala. I find it very interesting that God chooses a woman, not a man. God is the one who elevates women to status. He lifts them up. He gives them prominence. And he says to her, "I'm alive." Actually, the greeting he gives there to them is one of kind of like, "Where have you been? I was waiting for you." So Jesus is asking us this question that he asked Peter. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Peter said for himself, "You are Messiah, the Son of the living God." You see, there are many gods in this world, but there's only one living God. There's only one God who has ever risen from the dead, only one God that's ever beaten the grave, and that is Jesus of Nazareth, whose name is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is Messiah. You see, there were others that heard of Jesus being risen from the dead, and this is a story that's given, or the testimony that's given from a man by the name of the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. And this is what he said: Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead the third day. And just as the Scripture says, he was seen by Peter, and then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers all at one time, most of whom are still alive, but though some have died at the writing of this letter. And then he was seen by James, and later by all apostles, and last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I, Paul, saw him. There's a lot of people to see somebody who was dead. A lot of people witnessed the risen Jesus. And so we come back to this statement right here, this question: who do you say that I am? It's a question that you will have to answer. You know, when we were students in classes, oftentimes a teacher would give a test, but they would give you a pretest, and they'd say, "Well, every question on this pretest is going to be on the test, or it may not be. So you have to study all the pretest, and you may only get one question on that test that was on that pretest." So Jesus has already given you the pretest. But may I say to you that what's on the test is only going to be what was on the pretest. Someday, you will have to answer this question. Now, you can answer this question today. You can answer it tomorrow. You can also answer it after you're dead. But after you're dead, it won't make any difference what your answer is. Because every answer to this one only works in this life. Who do you say that I am? Well, you can say that he is just a man, that he's a prophet, that he's a good teacher. And you have that option. It is your choice. You may choose that. Or you can say he is the Son of God. He rose from the dead, he was buried, and he is the one who paid for my sin. And that is a statement of belief, because you can't see it, and I can't see it, so we trust someone who has written this, and we say, we believe, based upon the documentation that has been given to us. Who do you say that I am? If you choose to say, he's just a prophet, he's just a good man, first of all, you have to understand that he would be a lunatic to say all the things that he said. Because the things that he said, and if you've never read the New Testament, then you have no right to say what he said, because it's written for us. But if you look at what he said, you'd have to say, that man is crazy. He's simply crazy. You can't just call him a good man. He's a lunatic. Or he's God. That's the only two choices given to us. But you can say the one, or you can say, he is my God. You see, in the book of Romans, it says this: if we confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the penalty of your sin. See, we would all agree that we do things wrong in this life, and then if God was here, he would not like what we have done. And we'd all say, yep, guilty, okay? I've done it all. So you're saved from your sin, because the penalty of sin is separation from God forever. But if you believe that Jesus paid the penalty for sin, that when he died, didn't die for his sin, he died for my sin and for your sin. And when he died, he went to the place of the dead, Hades, and he spent 3 days in hell in torment, separated from God. Think about that with me a little bit. God the Father and God the Son separated. The Godhead split. The pain that they must have felt, because they had never, ever, in all of eternity, been separated. They are one God. But one God paid the penalty for our sin, being separated from God, going where there is no goodness, where there is no value, there's no light, there's no joy, there's no song, there's no nothing that we consider in this life valuable. In fact, I believe in that place called hell, there will be no friendship. There will be no contact with any person. You will be alone in your own thoughts forever with all the things you have done and all the options and opportunities you have had, and you will regret forever what you did in this life. That'll be hell. But he says, if you believe that Jesus is Lord and believe in your, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him, anyone who places their faith in him, anyone who says, I believe, I want Jesus to forgive my sins. You remember the two ladies that we've been talking about, Claudia and Mary. Mary had firsthand experience with Jesus. Cast out 7 demons. He walked with her. He talked with her. Claudia probably knew of Jesus, probably might have heard Jesus in the temple, could have quite possibly, because that's where she would have gone on her daily ride. She wouldn't have gone to the temple, but she would have been out in the city of Jerusalem. She may have heard him, she may have heard about him, but she never experienced Jesus. She just took the opinion of another. Now, we don't have much evidence as to what happened to Claudia. There is a bit of evidence, just a bit, that Claudia ultimately came to face this question, who do you say that I am? And she finally said, you are God. You are big G God, the one and only God. And I accept your payment, Jesus, for my sin. Little evidence for that. Can't say that definitively. But if you look around you, there are many people who have already said, he is God. We are here today celebrating. We celebrate the risen Christ. The reason? Because we believe. And we want to share that belief with any person who will listen. And that's why we preach. That's why we speak. That's why we talk about this on this day, because this question here, who do you say that I am, is the number one question of all life. You either believe that he is God, or you do not believe he is God. And on the basis of that, you will choose your eternal destination, either with God in heaven or apart from God in hell. And God, being a just and fair God, if you want no part of him, he will give you no part of him. That's what hell is. If you want to be with him, based upon what Jesus has done for you, you will be with him. But it's based upon what we believe, my trust, and my confession. Today, I want to give you an opportunity. First of all, I want you to understand that it has nothing to do with a prayer. It simply has to do with talking to God. And you say, well, where is he? He's all around us. He's here. It's just simply saying, God, I've heard what you've said this morning, and I want to place my faith in you. I believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead. I believe that he paid for my sins. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and may I experience who you are. May I come into relationship with you. You can do it with your eyes open, anywhere you are. You can do it right here, and I would encourage you to do it here. But the following thing is this. It's not just enough to say it inside me quietly. Remember, it said to confess. Tell somebody else what you have done. Because it's in the confession that it becomes public and people know. So if you have said that or believed that or made that statement today, okay, not in a prayer, not in coming down front, but just you're just agreeing. Say, yes, I believe that. Then tell somebody. Tell somebody you came with. Tell somebody who's around you. Come up and tell me. That'd be great. I'd love to hear the story, okay? But the question of who do you say that I am? Answer that question. Father God, I thank you that it is through Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, that we have our life. Father, this is the day that you rose from the grave. We celebrate this day. We celebrate the fact that the power of sin and death has been broken, that you have overcome the things that we fight against. You are in the midst of changing us. But you've called us to answer this question, who do you say that I am? Lord, I pray for those who are struggling with this question today, who, like Claudia, are not sure that he isn't just a man who's dead and buried someplace and nobody knows where his body's at. Father God, I pray that you would take them to your word, that you would open their eyes that they may see the truth. And Father, I pray that they would come to faith in you. And those of us who believe and are celebrating and are rejoicing today, would you give us a compassion and mercy for any person who doesn't know? We are not better than they. We are just simply saved because of you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray.